Hopefully we'll finish doing this looking from the top down this morning. One of the biggest mistakes we make as believers is we forget that if something is going wrong in our lives or memories or whatever it is, we forget that we have an out. And that out is to remember that we're no longer flesh. And we transfer the issue from being an issue that we deal with to our true identity. And the identity is Christ as us. And that's hard for us to understand. Because we are flesh, and we're condemned to be flesh. We can never be anything other than flesh. And flesh will always act as all other flesh. But when we see and transfer that identity to who we really are, then this thing, this mystery happens where it's hard to explain, but the issue, the problem, whatever, is swallowed up in his resurrection. And we literally forget about it. It's as if it had never happened. But that's unfortunately what most believers don't do. They continue, no matter whether it's issues about them or issues about other people, we continue to try to solve the problem in our old ways. And that can't be done. We transfer our identity to who we really are. That we may have forgotten, or maybe we have never known who we really are. But in that transfer of identity of the issue to Christ, then it's swallowed up in his victory. Does everybody understand that, or am I talking in a language that... I mean, whether it's somebody dealing with, with our parents, whether we're dealing with bad memories, whether we're dealing with past issues, whatever it is, we step away from us as flesh people.
I remember one time you put on the board up here,
I
have a problem. Christ has Christ has a problem.
Right. And so the whole issue is, it just goes away. It vanishes. And that's not what we even think about doing most of the time. Because we're so used to having a problem and then having to deal with it that we forget our identity. Because we don't deal with it. If we deal with it, then we're just like all the other people. Or try to deal with it. But we have another out. And no matter what it is, you transfer your identity to Christ and it disappears. Does anybody believe me?
I see it where the whole world system is created to test that life of Christ in us. And if we understand that, then when these things happen, come against us, or we get upset about not being able to remember, that's just part of the same old proving ground that is ordained.
We conquer them. We see through the issue. We transfer our temporary recognition of the outer pull of the flesh to our true identity. And much of that pull of the flesh comes from your mind, especially accusing you. That's its main function, to accuse you. And once you've left the flesh, then the accusations become stronger. And you have to see where they're coming from. And then flesh is swallowed up in spirit. Does everybody understand a little bit? Or do I need to write it on the board? Like I did. I forgot I did that one day.
Are you saying that, I totally see what you're talking about, but when you say that the accusations become stronger once we've done this, it seems like they become...
The accusations of our mind become stronger because it's the mind, the evil one, is using, is doesn't want to... It never wants to be gone. So you have to leave all of your mind behind. That's why we're faith people. We're no longer problem solving with our minds. It doesn't matter what the issue is. And then all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. But not when you're dealing with, not when you're living by your mind. Then you've made that a liar. All right? Well, anyway, the spirit, what you always want, daily, hourly, minute by minute, you want to remember that flesh has been swallowed up. The spirit has swallowed up the flesh. But then you can't return to the flesh for any reason. You can't return to the old ways. Then you start living from faith to faith. There's no more leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. Again, that's why this... Let's go to Matthew 5 or 6. We're going to start in a place where it doesn't seem like it has any meaning. But go to Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth does rust and doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this isn't just talking about any kind of physical stuff. It's talking about mental stuff. I'm not picking anyone when I say this. It may sound like I am. But you no longer have a good ideas folder. Because then you're laying up for your treasure on earth. Laying up for yourselves treasure on earth. Even though it's imaginary, it still has the same effect. Understand? You just ignore all these goofy things that your mind does to you. Tells you. Even the good stuff. Then, okay, now... The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Because you think it's light. Now what does that mean? The word for evil there is ponero. That means that you have toil or work to do. And then it emphasizes it in the next verse. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And again, mammon is anything that you have confidence in the flesh. Whether it's, it doesn't matter what it is. If you have confidence in your ability to do it, then you are, well, you can't have two masters. You can't serve God and you, if you have confidence in your ability to do something. And so if God is working in you, you'll find out constantly you lose the ability to do anything except faith. Amen? Anybody understand that?
Yeah, and faith isn't something you do. You don't do faith. It's like that's not a...
No, faith is... faith has swallowed you up. You don't exist anymore when faith works. If we momentarily give breath to the flesh, which is what sin is, because we've given breath or given importance to that being that is sin, the evil one. Sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. So if you give breath to you for a minute, then the shed blood of Christ has cleansed you from all that sin. Now you got to get in your mind, sin isn't what you do. Trespass is what you do. Sin is who you are. Now this is absurd. It's absurd to believe, well, at least it's to me, it's absurd to my mind to believe what I believe. And there, I mean, your whole being changes.
I'm just thinking about the sacrifice for sin offering and trespass and how that had some effect. People saw it and there was a sense of forgiveness and that.
Yeah, but the almost nobody understood except there's a lot of them that did, but nobody understood that why there was a sin offering and then a trespass offering. And so nobody still does. If they happen to study the offerings even. There's a sin offering because that's who you are. The trespass offering is what you do for what you do. And so in the very sin offering itself, there was a revelation of Christ. But you understand that as a being, the human race can't help but sin because they are sin. And sin, what sin does is trespass. It can't help it. It's because of the fall.
And I just thought of something. You in the flesh read scriptures and believe them and try your best to perform that which is said here, you more than likely end up darkness thinking it's light.
Because, no question.
Because you're trying your best, and of course God would honor that.
And that's why hypocrisy is such an evil thing, because you don't even admit to yourself that you're a joke. You're not doing anything that you think is right. I mean,
well, I came. Sure, God will honor my efforts.
Yeah, you'll honor your efforts, and then you want Christ to help you. No, it can't happen. He will leave you when you're with your efforts. He doesn't help you do anything. You won't believe that if you listen to the... Well, the only reason that the people that we make fun of and tease and investigate believe that is because that's what the human race believes. This, where God is helping me become a better person. No, he's not. God is helping me get rich. No, he's not. God is helping me do my work. No, he's not. Then can we understand now what it means? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But faith isn't a noun. Faith is a verb. The people have made faith into a noun. Let's go to 1 John. Now, the point of all this is, can you start to see how you can look when you live this, you look from the top down, not from the bottom up? First John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, love doesn't become an issue. Love is automatic because everyone that loveth... that's an incredible statement. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. There's no issue about loving the brethren, because it's the automatic. Do you understand what that scripture says? Look, read it again. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Everybody got it? You don't have to worry about what other people, what you're trying to love somebody. You can't try to love. That's not even, I don't even know how to say it. That's not even in the picture. You can't try to love.
That's dark love.
All right, that's not what we're studying, though.
I always, just as a comment, I always stopped at Christ when I read that. Begotten of him, I always thought, oh, that's Jesus. And I never carried on to the brethren, even though the next sentence talks about the brethren.
By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous. They're simple as walking off. They're simple as walking for Christ if he's our life. There's no, you don't try to do anything. You just do. You just be. Do you understand how much of the time the human race tries to be instead of being? Yeah. Somebody's picked up a friend.
Stops.
And then, so anyway, Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God, or whosoever is born of God, either one, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, you can't just believe it mentally. That doesn't mean anything. All right, then this next part is some of my favorite stuff in the scripture. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is a spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, what that's talking about is one of those plugs that has the two plugs and then a ground on an electrical outlet, right? There's two, what do you call them?
Prongs.
Prongs. Yeah. And then a third one that's just not even a prong, it's just a straight thing. I mean, it's a different way of looking at it. Now, that's exactly what this is talking about. There are three that bear record in earth, and there are three that bear record in heaven. And those three have to agree. Then your life is automatic. There's no more thinking about what you're doing. It's just being. Because the three are bear witnessing in earth, and the three that are bear witnessing in heaven. You've plugged in to the source of all. And you live in that source. Anybody have any questions about that? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, or the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the Water, and the Blood. And these three agree in one.
I don't get the water and blood in the second one.
Okay, what is...
Water is people.
Hmm?
Water is generally people.
No, not here. These are the two, the water and the blood are in this... Well, the water is the cleansing of the Holy Ghost. The blood is the shed blood of Christ.
Yeah, we studied for a long time the difference between being unclean as it contrasts with what sin is and what the uncleanliness is.
Right.
Just touching a dead body. Going inward is touching a dead body.
Right.
Internally, going back
in. If you go back inside yourself, then those three can't agree in one. Because you are the dead body that it's touching. You understand that? You are dead. And so if you go back in to self for any reason, then you're unclean because you've touched the dead body. That's what all of these scriptures in the Old Testament about being so careful not to touch a dead body, even walk over where a bone. I hope you understand. If you don't, I pray that you'll ask. But so again we say, who is he that overcometh the world? Well, that's not so well, Henry. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not faith as a noun, but faith as a verb. Faith as a verb is that you do nothing other than by faith. Now, the only way that I can even exist with the stupid pain I'm in is to believe that it has a purpose beyond me. And I'm not trying to be righteous about it, but I would commit suicide if it wasn't for that. And God, thank God for that. But if you can't see that every time you go inward, you're touching a dead body, then you'll never know the power of God. Every time you lean on your own arm of understanding, you're touching a dead body, because the dead body you're touching is you. That's why we live by faith alone. The abandonment of self. The first thing he said to his disciples. You get a total divorce from yourself. And who is the thing that makes you you? Well, obviously, it's your physicality, your appearance. But the fundamental thing that makes us us is our minds. And that's what's dead. So it's not just that the garment is spotted by the flesh, but here you've touched a dead body. And expect God to okay it. Well, let's just read the last coda here, from starting verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin, I'm going to have to use my new Bible. A brother sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them. But sin, not unto death. There is a sin unto death. All unrighteousness is sin. And there... Would somebody else read it? I'm not doing well here. Start in verse 17.
All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols.
Amen. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He can't sin, because only Christ is born of God. He alone has immortality. We're going to study this one more time tomorrow. We're going to study 1 John chapter 3. And then we will move on to other pastures. Any thoughts about today? Anything?
I just kind of noticing how the first part of John, 1 John 1 talks about if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. And at the end,
he that is born of God sinneth not.
Yeah, it's like it's a transformation that is kind of full circle.
Right, but if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. The only way this can be true is if the is Christ is your light.
You know who you are.
But you keep yourself from sin. By how? That's what we'll study tomorrow.
Are you going to explain the difference between the sin that leads to death and the one that does not lead to death?
The only sin that leads to death, the unpardonable sin, is blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Which is what?
And I don't even know, and I don't want to know. And I don't think anybody wants to know.
That doesn't clarify anything.
Well, don't worry about it. Okay. Bottom line is. It's pretty bad, I promise you.
I thought I've already done it a couple of times. No, you haven't.
You haven't done it. I promise you, you haven't done it. You have to be as the Simeon, the guy that tried to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he tried to pay for it. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But things like that. By the way, in Eusebius, you know how we read Melito of Sardi? There's a whole chapter of other stuff that Melito has written, and how much he was an incredible hero. And because at that point, much of Christianity had returned to paganism. And they didn't think it was paganism, but by their lives, they made it paganism. So I'll try to remember to read that. It's interesting to see that one thing we read every Passover, Melito's Passover homily, I never had tried to find out anything else written by him, but he was something else. All right, anybody have anything else? Put that one away. You don't have to worry about that one.
That's why I got so paranoid yesterday when you were talking about God leaving you temporarily.
Okay.
Where that came from.
Jesus didn't like that either. God left him temporarily.
Oh. That's my worst fear.
It's a something to identify with.
All right, take it, big guy. And dress warmly. It's going to be... It's going to be colder than it's been in 2 years tonight.
Yeah.
So
we had the warmest winter on record, I think, last year.
If anybody has, well, I guess I should wait till Jeff Heffy gets here to put a warm coat on and put a lot of water in those plants out back.
Put water in them?
Yeah, but that protects it from, even if it turns to ice, it protects them from being destroyed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's how we kept all those plants last year. Even though it was warmer, and that could be something about it.